All right, we are live here with a Sloss rant from the Philadelphia suburbs. It is just about to be Sunday morning, Saturday night here into Sunday morning. We're going to give you the NFL picks here in a little bit. But first, we got to talk about the Arizona Wildcats. This is not something I expected to be talking about, Arizona football and Arizona basketball, but it's been quite the 24-hour period for my alma mater, the University of Arizona. Let's talk about last night first. That was a clutch performance by guys like Boswell, guys like Johnson, hanging in the game, knocking down those free throws, going in to Cameron Indoor and winning a game, game number two of the season, at the Dookie Pukies with the Cameron Crazies in the stands going crazy. You know, there were some notable U of A people there in the building, like Terry Francona, the former manager of the Boston Red Sox and Cleveland and the Philadelphia Phillies, too, back in the day. But the point being, Arizona, whether it's been under Lute Olson or Sean Miller and now Tommy Lloyd, they will schedule anyone, they will play anywhere, and they'll do it anytime. I mean, the anytime part is especially true because this was only the second game of the season. Arizona is not scared to schedule teams in college basketball. If you did not go to Arizona, your alma mater is probably scared to schedule real in-season games, not these tournaments that are at neutral sites. Arizona got on the phone when they're making their schedule. They reached out to John Shire of Duke. They scheduled the home and home, so next year it's going to be in Tucson. But Arizona shows you that they're not scared to go play anyone, and they'll do it anywhere, and they'll do it any time. And it's a great time to be a fan of the Wildcats. You know, we don't want to get too crazy. It's only two games through the season, but they've looked pretty good overall, and they've got a real shot to maybe get over that Final Four hump and get back to the Final Four, where they have not been since 2001, when they lost to Duke, actually, in the national championship game. So, real big win last night, real statement win. And Tommy Lloyd, this courtesy of something called OptiStats on Twitter, he's the first Division I head coach in college basketball, whether it be men's or women's, to defeat an AP-ranked top three, so an AP top three-ranked team in each of his first three seasons. So, super impressive stuff there by Tommy Lloyd. He should be real pumped up about his team, real pumped up about the direction of the program. Now with the football, Arizona beat Colorado today. That's their fourth straight win. I am not really the biggest Arizona football fan. I'd be lying to you if I said that I was. It's just kind of for the fact that most of the time they're not going to have a chance to do any real damage in the grand scheme of things in college football. But it's nice to get a win against Colorado, who now is 4-5. They're not really anything that they were hyped up to be earlier in the season. And Arizona's got an outside chance of making that Pac-12 conference championship game. They need a couple, you know, handful of games to break their way, and they've got a shot to sneak in there with that second place spot. But I think that the reason why the football team and the basketball team, and why I'm leading off a podcast the night before the NFL slate kicks off, why I'm talking about Arizona is because this was a team from football and basketball perspective, they were down in the dumps and they happened to get the hiring right with both teams. They bring in Fish from the New England Patriots, and that move has paid off pretty far. I mean, this was a team that really was about as low as they could be. After in 2021, to close out the year, they lost to Arizona State by like 60 or 70 points, whatever the case might be. And Kevin Sumlin, it was very clear at that point, he was not the answer for Arizona. So they bring in Fish, kind of an unknown coming from the, you know, kind of the background of that Patriot organization. But even in his first year, he loses to NAU. And that maybe that was the lowest point in the history of Arizona football. But 2 years later, he's got this team in bowl eligible, and if a couple things break right their way, they're going to the Pac-12 championship game, a place that they have not been since the 2014 season. And it's going to take a bunch of combination of wins and losses along the way from other teams, and Arizona would have to win out last few Pac-12 games here, But they're in a good spot. And then if you talk about it, to go back to the basketball, Tommy Lloyd was kind of an unconventional hire after you had to move on from Sean Miller with, you know, the whole FBI investigation and whatnot. And did he pay DeAndre Ayton to go there? Did he not pay him to go there? And bringing that guy who had not been a head coach before was definitely a risky move, especially coming from Gonzaga, where, you know, they're really good every regular season, no doubt about it, but they don't win the big game. And it seems like with Lloyd, and I know they got upset by Princeton last year in the tournament, but they are heading in the right direction. Obviously, you go and beat a team like Duke this early in the year. And I think that with this coach, he's going to be able to continue to recruit players and bring in big-time players. I mean, they got a guy on the team who's a, I believe he's a sophomore, Dylan Anderson from Perry High School over there in Gilbert, Arizona, near where I used to work. And this guy never even plays, and he was a four-star recruit. So Arizona really is just in a good spot because of the sheer amount of talent on the roster, because Tommy Lloyd and his staff are doing a great job in recruiting. So that's Arizona basketball and football. Things are going well. Yeah, this past 24 hours, I know it wasn't the same day, but this is about as big of a situation as going back to, I think, 2012, where they beat Florida in basketball in McHale Center, and they won a bowl game in dramatic ways. I think it was the New Mexico Bowl. So both teams definitely set up for prime position to continue to grow and continue to develop. Obviously, basketball, the ceiling is much, much higher, as is the floor compared to football. But it's nice to see a competitive football team coming from Arizona. All right, now let's get into the picks in the National Football League. Last week, we go 3-2. Talked about this on the last podcast. We hit with the Vegas Raiders. We lost with New England. We hit with the Bengals. We hit with the Eagles, and we lose with Seattle. We got five picks on the docket here. We've got three teams that are favored. Three teams that are dogs, two teams that are favored for my five. We're sitting at 13-2 on the season. That's over 70%, and really just off to a good start so far through 9 weeks, but we want to continue that. All right, we talked about Arizona, so why not talk about the Arizona Cardinals? I'm going to pick them for game number one, getting the 2 points versus the Falcons at home. You can't really tell me that you're running to your phone to log onto your app, or you're running up to a window, whether you're in Vegas, Arizona, whatever the case might be, Philadelphia, New Jersey, anywhere where there's windows where you can go in and back a team. You can't tell me you're running in there to back Heinicke on the road as a 2-point favorite. That doesn't make any sense. Has he played well in his career at times? Yeah, he has, especially that playoff game against Tampa Bay, which is the reason why he seems to keep getting chances with Washington and then with Atlanta now. But Atlanta's been consistent all year long. I think with Kyler Murray coming back, the Cardinals might be able to show you something. They fought all year. It's very clear they're not a good football team, but I don't think the Falcons are that great. And you would think that because of the fact that the Falcons have been definitely better than the Cardinals all year, definitely record-wise better than the Cardinals, that they would be more than 2-point favorite. But I think the fact that the Cardinals are only getting the two, as much as I would like to get more points, I think that that's showing that Kyler Murray, if he's even half healthy, he should be able to step in there and run the offense pretty well. So give me the Cardinals getting the 2 points. All right, the next game, Packers at the Steelers. The Packers are getting three. I'm going to take the Packers here. All right, listen, anyone who's playing this game, they're on the Steelers. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of the tickets are on the Steelers for this game. This is all about playing and backing Green Bay. The Steelers have been one of the most lucky teams in the year. I think if you look at all metrics relating to luck, they've been one of the luckiest. And the Packers have been, I think, second or third to last in terms of luck ratings throughout the season. So this is all about the fact that, yes, the Steelers are much better record-wise than the Packers, but I don't think I'm getting that big of a drop-off in quarterback play if you look at Love versus Pickett, and I'm getting three whole points. So I've got to go ahead and take the Green Bay Packers getting the 3 points. All right, the next game, the Ravens getting 6.5, the Browns getting 6.5 at the Ravens. This play is really all about the fact that I love the Browns defense, and who doesn't? If you talk about before the beginning of the season, I said that Myles Garrett was one of the top two players in the NFL. I said he was number two behind Patrick Mahomes. I've definitely been proven right. This is a guy who's towards the top of the leaderboard in sacks for the league. He can beat you with that bull rush. He can beat you with that speed rush. There's not a thing that he can't do on the football field, especially when it comes to going and getting the passer. So I think 6.5 points, even if you get a Watson for the Browns, who's just kind of mediocre, which is kind of what he's been since he's joined the Browns, I think that that's just too many points. Take a look out there. Maybe see if you can get the 7. These odds are courtesy of DraftKings, so maybe take a look if somewhere else has got the 7 if you want to play this game. But I think that combination of the defense for the Browns plus a quarterback that's going to play good enough for them to win, give me the Browns getting the 6.5 at the Ravens. Next game, the 49ers at Jaguars. 49ers are laying the 3 points. This will be the first of two favorites that I pick here. With Trent Williams coming back, Brock Purdy's got some protection, and you know, they have not played very well in their last 3 weeks, but one of those losses was against the Browns. The first of the 3 losses was against the Browns, and they had a chance to win but missed a 41-yard field goal to win the game. So something that they eventually missed there. They're coming back off the bye, like I said, with Williams healthy. Maybe Purdy is able to lead them to a win and a cover because they are laying 3 points at the Jaguars. And I think most of the people picking this game are backing the Jaguars, but I got to go the other way for sure and take the 49ers. All right, the last game that we're picking, the Cowboys minus 16 versus my New York football Giants. I wanted to take the Giants if this got up towards the 21, 22-point range. You know, it's climbed a little bit. I think it was 15.5 open, but now it's sitting at 17, so it hasn't quite climbed as much as you would think. But the reality of this situation is that the Cowboys are a lot better than the Giants. The Giants with Tommy DeVito, I mean, would I like to see him develop into a franchise quarterback? Sure, but I think that that's just not going to happen if we're being realistic. I think his best shot to come back on the team next year is to be a backup or a third stringer or maybe go get a backup job with someone else. The one thing about DeVito I looked up about him, and this could be a play for the Giants to keep it close, even if they're not able to win. DeVito ran a 4.6640, so this is definitely a guy who's fast. He's rushed for a touchdown this year against the Jets, so maybe the Giants look to do some interesting things with him there, being able to maybe run the ball. So I don't mind laying this big number with the Cowboys because a lot of teams have laid big numbers and covered. Chiefs did it against the Bears. Dolphins did it against the Giants. 49ers did it against the Giants. You see a little bit of a pattern here. Now, don't we? So I don't mind laying that big of a number. I don't think it's too big of a deal. So our picks, again, Cardinals plus 2, Packers plus 3, Browns plus 6.5, 49ers minus 3, and Cowboys minus 17. Should be a pretty solid slate of games throughout the day. You have that Indianapolis Colt game and Patriot game in the morning live from somewhere in Germany, but should be interesting tomorrow. Arizona Wildcats basketball and football in good shape, and the five picks against the spread for week number 10 in the National Football League. Schlossrant live. Have a good day, everyone.